And then Megan Kerrigan, where are you, Megan? There you are. She wanted to come up and say a few things about the homeless outreach they did on Friday.
Thank you. Hey, guys. So a group of, I didn't count, I should have counted, like 10 of us went out this past Friday night to the streets of Nashua. It was just really on my heart. It was originally just me and my husband, Dan, but I'm like, the more the better, right? So I reached out, and the group of us that went out was me, my husband Dan, Joe Merlin, Gabby, Mike Belanger, Mike Isaac, Lee Isaac, Beth, and Eric Nielsen, and then Tom Riley. And it was interesting because I really felt attacked that day, and I think Gabby sharing she did too. So Holly woke me up at like 3:30 in the morning, and I was exhausted, and I'm like, I don't know if it's still gonna happen, like this might not be a good time, I'm not sure. And then Gabby said her back just got thrown out that morning, and she's like, I don't know if I can go, my back is killing me, like this never happens. But we still went, and it was just really cool though, because I didn't really have a plan, and I was nervous that the group would kind of be, not annoyed, but looking for more of a plan, and my plan was just pass out Bibles and blankets and snacks, and do you know Jesus? Can I pray for you? That was kind of it. So, but the group was just really like motivated and just kept wanting to go. And I think we passed out like 10 Bibles, but it was a lot though, because we didn't get to talk to too many people. There wasn't as many people as I thought there were gonna be. But God was so there, and it was so cool because you could just see how he brought specific people to us. And the first man that pops into my mind was, he wasn't even homeless. We were walking with our little wagon and all of our goodies, and we passed by him in a parking lot, and he was just standing there looking at us. He's saying, hey, and we were like, hey, how are you, man? Good, how are you? We kept walking, and God told me, turn around. That guy needs to talk to you, turn around. I'm like, God, he's not even homeless. Like, we're here for the homeless people, not for this guy. And God's like, no, you need to talk to him. So I'm like, okay, so I turn around. Eric came with me. Everyone else had abandoned me at this point. They kept on going. And so I was like, hey, man, how are you? And he's like, good. And I'm like, he's like, why are you guys out here? I'm like, we're just passing out Bibles, praying for people, passing out snacks. And he's like, oh, he's like, I lost my Bible. I don't have one anymore. I'm like, well, let me go grab me one. So I had to run and grab it. And we had some good conversation. We talked for like 15 minutes. We all got to pray over him. His name was Kim. And it was just really cool. Like, God brought him to us. And yeah, something else that was super cool is me and Dan were getting ready to leave our house prior to the meeting. And I was packing up my car, and my car was getting fuller and fuller, and I'm like, I can't fit any more stuff in my car. And God told me, bring your coat. Bring my old winter coat. And I'm like, God, no one's going to want my old winter coat. I mean, it's a good coat, but I'm like, why bring my coat? So I'm like, okay, I brought it. It was awkward to carry around. I honestly forgot about it for most of the night. Like, everyone I saw was like, hey, man, do you want a Bible? Do you need snacks? Do you want a Bible? Do you need snacks? And then we met this guy, Mike. And I saw Mike, the sun went down, he looked freezing. I'm like, do you need a coat? And he's like, yes, I need a coat. And it fit him perfect. And I'm like, Mike, you're the reason why I brought this coat. And something else cool, a couple more things is Mike, everyone brought a bunch of stuff. Some people donated stuff that didn't come, but we had so much stuff. Mike was like, offered to bring sandwiches. But then it was getting later in the day, and he's like, I'm sorry, guys, I don't think I can bring them. And I'm like, it's not a big deal. Like, we have so much stuff. And then Kelly was like, no, you know what? I'm going to make the sandwiches. And she made them last minute, and it ended up being a huge blessing. So that was a God thing, too. Just making sure I hit all my notes here. Oh, yeah. One more thing. There was this man who was laying down in front of a homeless shelter. He had just a backpack. Obviously, he was homeless. And he was so happy. And we were like, hey, man, like, how's it going? Do you need anything? Like, we have snacks, we have socks, we have Bibles. Can we pray for you? And he just smiled at us, and he's like, guys, honestly, I have everything that I need. He's like, I don't need anything from you guys. He says, I have Jesus Christ in my heart, and I have food, and that is all that I need. And you could just see his heart. His heart was so full. And I'm like, this is the verse that says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? And that doesn't necessarily mean, like, blessed are you if you're poor. like money wise. That's not what it means. It just means that he didn't have stuff to get in the way. And so he was able to just realize how spiritually poor and how much he just spiritually needed Jesus. So I think that I hit all my points. Oh, and we're going to be going out again. Sorry. If you're interested, let me know. If you have Facebook, I'll add you to the chat. We'll be going out again. So, yeah. Or text me. Yeah. No, I don't know when. So.
Yeah, that's so cool. Can we give these guys a hand? Thank you. You know you want to. This was a grassroots effort. It was just grown by the people who were so touched and affected when Hope Over America was here that they just started popping up, you know. And then Joe pops up, I'm like, hey, Megan's going, join Megan. We, you know, we just like everybody started throwing in and just growing this thing from the inside out. And yeah, there's things they learned as they went, and they're gonna do more of or less of or do differently, right? But that's part of the whole growing process, is kind of discovering what's out there, getting your feet out there on the street and realizing, I don't think I fully understand what it takes. But now the Holy Spirit can build something, because you know, you throw oatmeal and then see what sticks, right? So thank you for throwing oatmeal, Megan. And thank you to everybody else who brought the pieces. And God bless you guys. It's so cool to be part of a church who wants to get out there and evangelize, amen? Amen. Bring your coat. That's right. All right.
Yeah, I think that's it. And with that, we're going to release the kids. All right. See you back in a few minutes.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? I just left because I was going to grab Ryan because he was down at the park yesterday. And I asked him to share, and he was like, I'm kind of willing to share, but teenagers. His story, and he didn't feel like it was worth sharing, was that he was part of a group that were praying for a guy who had a torn meniscus, just someone in the community. They prayed over him, and he stopped limping, and the pain was gone as they prayed for him yesterday. So I was like, okay, well, I'll share that, but that's really cool. So sorry to pull you out of class for that, but you know, whenever the Lord moves in any way, who are we to say it's big or small? If he heals somebody in the community, like, heck yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. So thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate you coming in, and I pulled you out of class and disrupted you. Sorry. Yeah, and that's what it's about, right? Yeah, so. That's right. So it was the Freedom Festival. It was a friend of ours, Jeff Knuckles, put it together, and it was at the park, and he invited different churches to come, and yeah, just a bunch of testimonies about people who got free, and he didn't know we were doing our Hope for America thing, and meanwhile, he's doing his thing, and it was really cool just to see the intersection of God's heart for this area and all the different people that are playing, and I was even meeting with one of the local pastors this week for breakfast, and he's like, how can so many disparate pieces be happening and all of the churches not be fully aware of that? And it was kind of like disturbing him, and I'm like, hey, it's not good or bad. It just is what it is. Everybody's doing something, and God is making it happen. It's like he's orchestrating the pieces without the, you know, the mothership necessarily being over all the pieces, and that's okay. So let's just sit back and see what the Holy Spirit does. What were you going to say?
Testimony is not just for the other person. It's also for the congregation here to build upon it.
Yes. Amen. Amen. The congregation is blessed when we hear testimonies. How many feel more stirred knowing that a teenager was part of a group that prayed for someone out in the community and that person got healed? You know? Because it's one thing to believe for healing while you're in the safe place where the music is, you know, going and the Holy Spirit's flowing and people like you. It's different. Right? It's different to be out in the world and to do it there. It's really cool. So right. Yep. All right. Well said. But as we get out there, man, God is already showing us the breadcrumbs, if you will.
And if you'll just stop and pick it up and keep going, he's saying, if you'll meet me out there, I'll meet you out there, and I will move. Okay?
I find it interesting, too, that Brian had his knee.
Yes. Was it knees or ankles? Knees, yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You're blessed to be a blessing, right? Your healing isn't just for you, right?
That's
and
right.
That's not just physical, right? Like, mm-hmm. I was this way, and then God, period, right, did whatever to pull me out of addiction or showed me this way or whatever, gave me new hope.
Mm-hmm.
So now your story is meant to be passed on to someone else. Same with healing. If you're healed, it's not just for stop there.
Yep.
I believe if you're healed, you are responsible for laying hands on other people and saying, listen, I didn't do it. God healed me, but I'm going to lay hands on you and say, in Jesus' name, the same power from heaven that healed me can heal you.
Amen. 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 Wow, you guys, I'm just going to sit down and let you preach it. And that's a good thing. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm like, yeah, go for it. The day that the church actually creates the revelation, I will sit down. Yes.
And it sparks their curiosity.
Yes. Yep. And then we end. Amen. We're supposed to, because you know why you got to get good at your testimony now is because in the end we will defeat the devil with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So
amen.
Sharpen that sword. Right? All right. That's right. That's the third piece. You can't love yourself so much. Right? I don't like myself. No, just kidding. that's not what that means, people. That was a bad joke. Yeah. Yes. And Lenny, it is great to see you over there, man.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Lord, Stu's ready. Open our eyes. Away we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is the summary of where we kind of left off with last week. And it says here, what then, brothers? It's almost like Paul doesn't even know. When you come together, each one of you has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Building up what? Building each other up, right? The body of Christ. So what I've noticed about the modern church is, yeah, we're cool if there's a hymn, or maybe it's a worship song, right? We're cool. A lesson, definitely got to be a good lesson, right? But then the rest were like, a revelation? What is that? You know, in some translations, it actually talks about a prophetic revelation. Like that. Siri is ministering to us. Only Siri sounded like Bob. So a prophetic revelation, that is oftentimes not tolerated unless you're a certain denomination, and then people start building denominational boundaries around what that looks like, right? In some, I hate to say it, it even becomes a denominational badge of pride. Can I say that? Where you don't do that and we do, and so we're spirit-filled and you're not, right? Which is a dividing line unto itself to determine who truly is or isn't spirit-filled, right? And so what we start to find is that people can be obedient to Scripture and yet at the same time lose the love and the compassion that drives the entire bus in the first place, right? And so we're going to continue talking about how the Holy Spirit can move within the church, but I have to keep going back to that 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter references, which is all about if we have not love while we're doing anything in the Holy Spirit, we have nothing, right? Now, I want you to know that when I talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't mean to only say, if I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, that means I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The two are not necessarily synonymous. One just empowers the other. I have noticed, like some churches, if you go to their statement of faith and they want to talk about Jesus, they talk about the cross. If they want to talk about God, they talk about the Father. And then when they talk about the Holy Spirit, they want to talk about the gifts. And I'm like, wait a minute, I want to hear more about the Holy Spirit. But the statement of faith of the church is, well, if I'm saying Holy Spirit, he's just this ghost that gives me power. Right? And he's so much more than that.
Right?
I mean, We, you know, why, when the Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit, right? It's because he's got feelings. He's not a circus performer who snaps out gifts. Come, Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Like, we're the boss, and we tell him where to go, and he just, right? That's not him. He has feelings, right? Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us not to quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Why would all of that be clumped together in one thought? It's because the Holy Spirit, with the personality and the heart of Father God, also known as the Spirit of Jesus, the one who was driven by love to go to the cross for us, wants to talk to us. And he wants to talk to us in a way that we encounter it collectively as well as privately. And so we go into our secret place at home, and we close the door, and nobody hears, and we listen to the Holy Spirit. But then when we come together, we magnify what we experience in the secret place, and together we collectively hear the Holy Spirit. He wants to talk to us, right? As the body, where he gets to be the Spirit of Jesus, as Jesus is the head, and he's in with all within all of us, right? And so why would we not want to shut those things down and despise it? Because he wants to talk. And what we're saying is, I want to hear from the Holy Spirit. I don't want to hear from you, people. So I'd rather shut down the Holy Spirit if that means I don't have to hear from you. It is ooh. Can I get an ooh? Thank you, Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying, though? Right? We're actually so afraid of the weirdos that we are willing to sacrifice the voice of the Holy Spirit to prevent the bad apples. And I'm not even making a point yet. I'm just throwing out, this is reality, right? I haven't even begun to preach, right? Huh? Weirdos. Okay, the Greek. Weirdo. The Greek word for weirdo, weirdos. But weirdos do several things. One, they showboat and they want all the attention. And so when they stand up and when they want to give something, contribute, it's not for the body. It's for themselves. Look at me, and if you get something out of it, hallelujah, brother. Right? And we get so used to hearing people who want to showboat what they can do and who they are that we're just tired of it. Number two, they can be abusive spiritually.
Like Simon the Sorcerer?
Sure. Simon was more the first one. He was trying to get the attention and a following. He wanted everybody to smash that like button and follow him, right? Gotcha. The abusive ones want allegiance. They want your money. They want your stuff. They want your, right? And so that's control. And so they use the gifts of the Spirit as a way to gather you and position you for their benefit, right? Not for the kingdom, but for their kingdom. We've experienced that. Then we've experienced the fakes, the ones who say they're full of something, and, well, they're full of something, but it's not the Holy Spirit, right? Right? And so when we experience that, gosh, I don't want that in the church. Like, raise your hand if you want that in the church. No? Okay, good. Neither does the Holy Spirit, but because the church over the years has, and I don't mean just River, I mean like 2,000 years worth of growth here, actually started shutting that stuff down because they were so afraid that it could get out of hand. And then, you know, several hundred years later, you're born. I'm born, right? And we're like, I'm not even sure if this stuff is this stuff real? Does this stuff exist? We've forgotten. We've lost touch with the things, the evidence of the Spirit, right? Now, what other things are we willing to talk about that is evidence of the Holy Spirit? Ah, fruit of the Spirit. We're willing to talk about love, joy, peace, patience all day long. And I think we should. I would never diminish that. In fact, one of the problems that I find is that there are too many people willing to flow in the gifts of the Spirit without having any of the character, the fruit of the Spirit.
Which I think is a result of the gifts of the Spirit.
It's all the same Spirit. It's who he is, right? It's you know. And so my challenge to all of us is don't despise the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do. Just make sure that 100% of our heart is aiming at living under the fruit of the Spirit. Like, let that grow. Let the character in the heart of God drive the things the Spirit wants to do through us. And if you want to define the Holy Spirit, don't define him only by what he does, right? Or else I'm nothing more than a telephone guy, right? And Stu, you're just an air traffic controller, right? You're so much more than that, Stu, right? You're Stu Beef. Yeah. Right? Right? And Jesse, you're a rocket scientist, but you're a father of 15 kids, right? Something like that. You drive a... Yeah, so you're a very father-hearted guy, right? And so to describe you with one thing is to dismiss all the other. And so we will talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We will talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We'll talk about the heart of the Holy Spirit, who he is, how much he loves, when he, have you read Proverbs 8? And it talked about how while the Lord was speaking the creation into existence, the Holy Spirit was dancing, celebrating, and inspiring God with creativity. Huh? That's Proverbs chapter 8. The spirit of wisdom. He Genesis says he was hovering, and Proverbs 8 says, well, yeah, it was more like dancing, right? And I'm not a dancer, so I'm don't ask. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's things about the Holy Spirit that he just has that we'll never dive into if we just define him as the doer and I'm the boss, and he just sort of like comes when I ask him to. And then when I say no to him, then that's okay, because it's just not time for him to show his face in this picture. The Holy Spirit is everything. Don't grieve him. Don't resist him. We live, move, and breathe. We have our being in him. Amen? Matter of fact, the we say spirit. The actual word in the Greek is pneuma. It's breath. The very breath of God in us. What did he do when he took a bunch of mud and he breathed within Adam the breath of life? He breathed the pneuma of God into us, and that took a dead piece of mud and turned it into a dude, right? Into a human. And it's the life of God within us that makes us who we are. And so we cannot despise the things of the Spirit. We can't even be more than a living clump of clay without his Spirit in us, right? And so when we get to this next phase of our life where we're saying, God, thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of me. Now, Holy Spirit, please come and do that for someone else. Go outside of me. Of course, he's going to be like, okay, are you ready? Are you buckled up? What's it going to look like, Holy Spirit? Well, it might look like love. It might look like joy or peace or patience or self-control, but it might also look like healing. It might look like prophecy or an encouragement, an exhortation. It might, right? It might look like good parenting, right? It might come out as taking care of an elderly parent, right? The Spirit of God, he just gets to come out of you in ways that, are just so much greater than the ways that you would have thought. So then what we experienced 2 weeks ago was big, and we named our service What the Heck Just Happened. And so today we're actually moving forward on that, and the actual name of this sermon is What the Heck Do I Do With It? Right? Because he doesn't just make a deposit without expecting a return. What's the parable of the talent, right? The only servant he was upset with was the one who didn't do anything with the deposit he was given. He didn't compare the two who invested. One invested and made more, the other, right? He didn't get into the whole who made more, who made less. It was all about you didn't do anything. And you just dug a hole. You didn't even put it in the bank, right? Like, foolish is not giving the King of Kings his return. The return on the investment of his son, his Spirit in your life. That's what I mean. I'm not talking about your cash, right? So why is God shaking up our attention? Why is he making us uncomfortable? Why is he challenging theological belief systems? Why is he breaking up even denominational side effects from the past? Why is he bringing up painful thoughts about abusive ministers in our life who broke our heart or commanded us and lost our respect and chased us out, or right, fill in the blank? Because if I was to ask everybody stand up as I start describing certain scenarios, I bet you I could get every one of you in here standing up before this is over. It's either that or you haven't been saved that long. Huh? Was that? Right. Oh, yeah, no, all I'm getting at is when we get hurt, we back all this stuff off, and then we just sit. I just want to come to church. I just want to get my 2.5 points, say my prayer, and go home, right? And that doesn't change anything. How do I know it doesn't change anything? Statistics say, and I go over this a lot, and that's important you hear it over and over, that in your lifetime you will remember three sermons that will you will be able to repeat back, generally speaking, to somebody. Right? Think about the impact of that. Sermons are not necessarily the one and only mechanism where the Holy Spirit is going to change your life. Right? Okay. That means as long as, I mean, think about it. As long as I have been at this church, and not many of you have still been here, you guys have, right? And Chris has been here for quite a while, but I've probably preached about 750 sermons. How many can you repeat back that changed your life? Don't all speak out. You don't have to. Just keep that to yourself. Keep it to yourself. But you get my point, right? Like, you're like, I remember this one, but it wasn't here. It was.
Chris preached that.
Yeah, Chris preached that one. No, it's okay. We don't need. But you get the point, right? So we have to have a living, breathing Holy Spirit encounter where it goes beyond sermons and hymns. Which is why 1 Corinthians said, when you come together, some of you will preach and some of you will sing. And thank God for those people, right? But then some of you will have prophetic words and some of you will have tongues. And we went over the rules last week. The rules, we're going to go into some of those today. I'm not asking for people to start getting the courage to stand up and just start speaking out in tongues and make us listen to you. Like Paul was real clear. When you do that, I'd rather you just prophesy. Just go for the meat and like, right? Okay, cool. If you're like in a moment, we're all worshiping, we're all singing our own thing, go for it. And sing it. I don't care. Right? Just don't showboat the tongues thing because it doesn't benefit us until we understand what it's being said. Okay? Make sense? Okay. Purity is critical. Everything that we do, and Kim, I think you're the one who says, whenever I know that the Holy Spirit wants me to share, it's because I shake. Right? Good. I want you to cross-examine yourself and stop and think, is this you, Holy Spirit, or not? Because I wouldn't want to do this, right? Good. That's good. Purity is critical in this. If you're way too excited to just get up and share your stuff, then ask yourself, is that right? I mean, just be careful, right? Okay. But I want you to share, but just don't do it out of like, I've got the answer, I've done this for years, I know what I'm talking about, or even worse, please don't stand up and say, I'm not sure if this is really God, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. No, just say it when you know it's God, right? And then if you could go back to the last verse we were on, please. We get to test everything, right? So you are all, basically, you have the answer guide to the test. It's called your Bible. And you get to test that thing and see if what the person said is good, and if it is good, hold fast to it. And if it's not, eat the meat, spit out the bones. Yes.
Sometimes, like with prophecy, I know in my life, I can only speak about my life, is that sometimes we'll get a prophetic word from somebody, and it will make absolutely no sense to us. Like, we can't relate at all.
Yeah.
And then maybe like 2 years, for me, it was like 2 years down the pipe.
It'll mean something. Yes.
And then it was confirmed by
Karen. Right. Right. She basically said, for those of you who couldn't hear, she received a word, but it took 2 years for her to even understand what the thing was about. So in that case, put it on a shelf. That doesn't mean it was good or bad. Just put it on a shelf until you can test it and prove that God was speaking. Right? There's wisdom in that. So cool. I was going to say, and I, you know, this is just like a little side story, but it's cool. This was probably late 80s. I watched this little mini documentary about the dude who worked for Ben and Jerry's, and his job was to taste the ice cream and make sure it was good. Can you imagine that job? I'm telling you, he just walked around like a superstar. He had his white lab coat on, even though he's not a doctor, and he had a gold, pure gold spoon. He kept it in his top pocket, like a dork, right? You guys, you know what I'm talking about? Is anybody? Yeah. So you know the gold spoon? And his job was, you know, he'd have this little Ben and Jerry's bucket of ice cream, and he'd have this knife and cut the thing, and it would fall apart, and he would take his golden spoon and dig right from the core. Like, it's important when you're tasting that you get it right from the middle, not the edges. I didn't go to school for that, so I don't know. But the one thing that was asked, like, so why did you get such a pure gold spoon? I mean, that sucker was expensive, right? It was because without the purity of that spoon, the any other spoon would have affected or in some ways tainted the perfection of the taste that he was receiving. So purity was important to experience the reality of what something really is and not, right? Like, I'm just a dude, so I'm willing to take a plastic spoon or, right? I'm a father, so I'm willing to take a dirty spoon. And... I've been known to lick the lid and taste the cardboard a little bit, right? Are you guilty? Okay. It's tainted flavor. And I definitely admit I tasted cardboard with that ice cream. But my point to bring in all this back is we have to have an emphasis on purity because where is it? In 2 Timothy 2:20, it talks about there in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver but also wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. And God can use it all, right? I didn't hear much of an amen. God can use it all. Amen. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work, right? So flee youthful passions, even if you're old, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Purity is key to being used by God, to being set apart as holy, to being tucked in God's top pocket, ready to pull it out so that people can taste and see that he's good in purity with no distractions, no, you know, cardboard aftertaste, like really getting the purity of who God is without the obstruction of our humanity getting in the way and tainting the good things that God wants to do. Yes? So when you hear us teaching about purity, it goes beyond the, because I don't want to see you lose your soul and go to hell, right? I don't. But I don't want you to live in guilt. I don't want to see you being dishonorable, unuseful, and I definitely don't want to see you tainting the taste of the Lord in someone else's mouth, right? We want to represent him well. So whether we're eating or drinking, whether we're talking, whether we're encouraging, whether we're doing something in the Spirit, we want to do it wholeheartedly with love and with purity. So please, please always come to the table of God, and I'm just talking about in church, but to his table, asking for him to purify your heart and make you holy. And trust me, purity comes with fire, right? And so I get it. Nobody wants to go through the purification process, but we all want to be pure. Yeah, so just take a sip of the courage of God and say, Lord, take me through refinement and purity, because without that, I can't be fully useful, set apart from you. I can only be partially available. And I don't want to be a partially available spouse to you, Jesus. Right? Raise your hand if you want a partially available spouse in your life. Right? Nobody wants that. Everybody wants someone who will pick up the phone every time you call, or someone who will answer you when you speak to them, or who, right? Or knows your love language and knows how to minister to that, right? Who wants to connect. And that's what we want to be to Jesus, because that's who he is to us. You're all laughing. I should have picked a different. Yeah. Now, where purity is important is in the realm of wherever the power of God starts to display itself. The scariest part of the miraculous is that it doesn't allow us to hide anymore. The miraculous and the power of God display religion for what it really is. And I'm not talking about love of God. Religion, the rules of following, right? It makes people who are inadequate suddenly feel inadequate and actually look inadequate. And I have seen when, like, the miraculous just began to pour itself out on movements, I watched leaders of those movements suddenly look or feel inadequate because of it. It was not within their control, and it was starting to show the world where they were falling short, and so they would rather shut that stuff down than let it actually just go. So purity, again, guys, it's so important that I would rather go through purity now and then have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit than to have the outpouring of the Spirit and then look dumb. Amen. Right? Why is this important? Why do you care, Daryl? Why do you have to go down this top? Because you know what, guys? This is the whole thing. The Holy Spirit wants to move. And if we don't have it all together, the purity side, even in our homes, if we're not good parents, if we're not good leaders of our homes, if we're not, right? And none of us are awesome, like, so all of us fall short. My point is aiming for those things, right? Aiming for it, aiming to be a good brother or sister to those around us, aiming to be a person who invests into what the Holy Spirit's doing in the community, then when the power of God shows, then what are we going to do? We're going to have to start, we're going to have to waste the first part of that in repentance. And I don't want to waste another day. You know what I mean by that? And repentance is not a waste. I don't want to waste what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Every time he shows up and wants to do something big, and it's like, I don't want to be the boat anchor saying, but I'm not pure like Isaiah, right? I have unclean mouth. Well, fix it, please, right? And I'm guilty too because I love a good joke. That is true. I'm not a liar. Yeah. Can you name three? Most of the time. Sometimes inappropriate, but they're good, yeah?
Well-timed.
All right, well-timed. Okay, so we're talking about church where maybe we can imagine some prophetic starts to flow. 1 Timothy 1:18 actually says, Timothy, my son, and this is so critical that we get this. Paul was like a father to Timothy, right? Spiritual father, right? And he says, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. So someone who is in relationship with Timothy, I'm not just talking about he didn't know him. He was in deep relationship with the guy, knows what the guy's prophetic words are for his life, and is saying, I have instructions for you, but they're tailored specifically to you because I know God has given you specific purpose, and therefore I only want to give you advice and instruction that will further that. I don't want to just give you generic advice. Yeah. Right? So what's really important, and this is especially true because we're a small church, we know each other. I mean, some of us don't know everybody, but we know each other, right? And we are in relationship enough that we were there the day that you received the word, right? A prophetic word, or maybe that's next Sunday, or maybe the Sunday after that, right? Where the Holy Spirit speaks and gives you a word, and we were all there. We're in relationship with you. So as we begin to do life with you, we're going to help you aim for the stuff God wants in your life specifically, not so generically. Right? Yeah. I mean, it was really cool. I was talking to a teen, and I'll just keep it without names, but I asked this person to describe what they look like in the future as an adult. Right? Just tell me what you see. Right? And this person was like, well, I see myself respected, and I'm going to be, they listed their career, and they're like, and when people see me, this is how they see me. And, you know, just went down this list of this awesome human being, you know, that they want to be as an adult. And I said, because I'm in relationship with you, would you let me call out any behaviors I see that aren't helping you get to that? Right. And the person said, sure. And so that dialogue is now open, right? It's like the my son Timothy, you have instructions from the Lord. And I want to help encourage you to move in that way, right? And so that's why prophetic is so important, not just on the traveling prophetic ministers. Those are awesome, right? When nobody knows you and they're like, your name is Jim and you got $5 in your wallet and God loves you and he's going to make you an amazing carpenter. Ah, right? Right? Those are always fun, but he doesn't have a relationship with you and he'll be gone tomorrow. And you'll have to type that word out and save it in a drawer somewhere so that you don't forget what was said. Here, if we could do this to each other, we remember each other, we invest in each other, and we have like verses for each other. Like Lenny, your verse, right? You know your verse. And we have code that we can shorthand talk to each other because the Holy Spirit has already done things in each other's lives to the extent that we are in relationship, right? I have certain phone calls with certain people where pretty much we can take an entire conversation to talk nothing but prophetically what has been said in our life and where is that going next. That's not with everybody. But that can be the phone call. It's like, you know, what did you hear and how are you acting on that? Ooh, I'm excited. Right? It's cool. And it's not more than cool, but it's like it's God, the Father, speaking to his kids and telling who he wants them to be when they grow up and giving them direction to reach for. Right? This is necessary, and that's why I don't want to see you shut down and just say, I don't need prophecy. No, you do. Right? Your spouse needs you to need that in your life. Your kids need you to need that in your life so that we're aiming for growth and achievement in him. Like, let's reach, right? You know, the only reason I'm here at River is because someone prophesied to Stu and Arlene, the founders of the church, that I should be called to come up. Right? Someone prophetically said to the pastor, go call that kid down in Florida. Right? And they had a search committee and they had interviewed some really cool guys, probably really qualified, potentially better qualified. And I was a sucker that said yes. No, but think about it. Like the course of our life as a church. And it's not just me, right? But I mean, I'm here, so you got to deal with it. It's all who we are today because someone prophesied that they should call somebody, and they acted on it, and it worked. And the result, huh? I'm not sorry. I listen. I'm blessed. It's just a funny way of saying it. I don't think I'm a sucker. It was a really hard road, and God is good, and he brought me through it. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Are you guys aware of that? You're aware of that verse? Has anybody stuck that on their refrigerator next to Jeremiah 29:11? And the Jabez prayer? Huh? Okay, so that word earnestly desire in the Greek, geolo, okay? You know how I know it sounds like that? Because it's a dead language. You can't prove to me that it's not the way it sounds. And it means to be, to covet, to desire, to be zealous for this thing. Like, we're not supposed to covet things, right? But he's actually giving us permission to covet spiritual gifts. I have to have that. Why? So I can use that for your kingdom, God. I want to expand your kingdom, Jesus. He wants to see a body that's, like, desperate to do stuff that he wants to do. Not people who are like, okay, if you want to use me, I'll be over here, and if you want to speak to me, just speak to me, and then I'll get up, and I'll argue with myself, and then I'll go share. He, right? That's one example. The other is, speak to me. That person needs you. I'm ready. What do you got? Okay, I have two words. I'm going to step over here, and you better, by the time I get those two words out of my mouth, give me four more. Right? Zealous for the kingdom, right? Especially that you might prophesy. Why? Because prophecy is putting words to God's heart, and he wants his heart to be known. It's great. It's beautiful. That's why we have to go back to the purity thing, because if we misrepresent him because we're not pure, right, that's where it's scary. But if we're pure and we let him purify us, he talks about how he prunes us so that we can produce more fruit, right? So it's good. Purity is a great thing. We want to be more like Jesus. We see Jesus do these things in the New Testament, right? And we hear him say, greater things will you do in my name. And then we stop there. We're like, but it's not for today. So let me get this straight. You want me to read this much of my Bible knowing that none of it really applies to anything. Right? Well, you get what I'm saying. Like people keep telling us for centuries now that this stuff is not for today. It's history. Right? And I don't understand it, especially in the world of prophecy. I'm like, they say, well, prophecy kind of went away with the apostles. And I'm like, so who was the last prophet? I mean, if we're going to speak like this, like we're the authority on the subject, and we know God shut it all down, tell me who he was. Right. And so I ask, was it the four daughters, right, of Philip the evangelist? They were all prophetic women, and they all shared with Paul, like, his next destiny, what was going to happen to him if he went to Rome. They prophetically called it out without knowing he was going to Rome. And I'm like, are they it? Are the four daughters of Philip the evangelist? Maybe they're the last prophets. I don't know. How about Agabus? You guys, like we're saying in our theology, it ended with the apostles. Well, I don't even want to talk about them. I want to talk about the ones who were doing it during those days. Was it Agabus? He said a famine was coming to the known world, and that the church began to collect money so that they would have enough to help people when the famine came. I mean, that's like pretty crazy stuff right there. Most of us will start giving when the chaos happens, but Agabus stood up and prophesied, we need to collect now because the chaos is happening. And they collected for years, and they were really ready to be a blessing when it happened. I mean, pretty cool. Got it. Got it. That's I believe that is one thing that I've heard, yes, because in 1 Corinthians 13, you got chapter 12 telling you how to use your gifts, chapter 13 saying, but don't use your gifts without love, chapter 14 is more about how to use your gifts, but in that 13, at the very end, it says, one day when the perfect thing has come, all prophecy will cease. Well, what is the perfect thing? And in your case, it's when Jesus died on the cross. He said, it's finished. That's the perfect thing. Then all the gifts go away. You're arguing with me. You know, your indignation is fine. I'm not telling you what I believe. I'm telling you what other people believe. And it's like the people in the Muppets, those two old men. No, it's okay. So there are a group of people, and you're absolutely right. They believe Jesus came, therefore the gifts have ended. I don't need that, right? But then why would he say, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and when you go, you'll tread on snakes and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. You'll take them, you'll drink poison. All these things are going to happen to you, and right? And you'll be fine. And all. Jesus started defining the gifts after he went to the cross, right? So, like, no, Jesus, silly goose, you already died and all that goes away, right? You goose. And then we ask Paul, why did you tell us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts? Jesus already died. Silly goose, right? Why? Right, but the problem is the Bible's now disagreeing with itself. It's creating a feedback loop of problematic issues if we always draw the line and say with the end of Jesus or the end of the apostles, Paul is telling Timothy to pursue things with gifts, right? So if it ended with the apostles, who was Timothy? Timothy didn't follow Jesus. He was not one of the apostles, right? So who the heck is Timothy? Why does he get to pursue gifts and why don't we, right? That makes me jealous. I'm going to jealously and earnestly desire spiritual gifts in my life, right? Why? 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. What does that prayer look like when you say, God, I want to upbuild and encourage and console people. Give me that gift. What does that prayer look like?
You'll do great
It looks like it, doesn't it? It almost sounds like you're going to be busy. Right? Right. Amen. All right. One at a time. That way we can hear you all. I think I'm done, and I'm going to draw a line here for next week. So if you don't like this topic, don't come back for another week at least. But seriously, guys, when you are driving to church, right, and the first thing you got to do is yell at your kids, you got to tell your wife, no, we're not getting Starbucks. And then you got to start repenting because you know you've done things and you got to get all that off your chest. And then you get to the church and you're like, yeah, one sec. And then you're like, okay, so I got to come in here and I got to get past all of this busyness in my mind and guilt and shame and all of my, right? And then at some point through all that stuff, I'm asking you one more thing. Will you please say, God, will you speak to my heart today so that I can be an encourager? I can build someone up. I can console someone today. And you're like, wait a minute, I got all the storm and chaos all around me. Great. Can you still reach out beyond yourself? Yes. I almost said you stinking narcissist. But can we stop making it all about us and what's happening to us, right? And be like, in the storm, can I still go outside of that with the Holy Spirit? What makes it supernatural is when it no longer has anything to do with me or my chaos. And it consoles and blesses someone else and gives them the freedom to experience and encounter God in a new and fresh and a pure way.
Obedience, and you need to.
Yeah, there we go. What were you going to say? Yes.
Was that kind of like a preparing and purifying yourself for the Holy Spirit?
Yep. Some people even say it could have been their salvation moment because he had just gone to the cross and he breathed his spirit. When we receive Christ, we receive his spirit as the adoption. And so that could have been their salvation. But then he said, here's my spirit. Now wait for my spirit. And they had to be dunked in Acts 2 in something far greater. So if the disciples were a cup, Jesus said, here's my spirit, you poured it in there. On the day of Pentecost, the ocean is the Holy Spirit, and he went, ka-thunk, and he dropped the whole cup into the ocean of the Holy Spirit and changed their life forever. You know what I mean? And so we want both. We want the salvation pour into me, but then, Lord, just take it all and drop me in, and I'm going, right? I'm yours. And that's what we want. Unless you're a control freak. All right. All this chattering is great. All right, next week we're preaching Women Be Silent in the church. No. I know. Because if mom doesn't come, dad doesn't come. Oh, my gosh. I am so glad that I can have fun with you guys. I swear. If I couldn't have fun in church, I don't think I'd go. I'd watch online. just to do my duty and get it done with. What's that? That's right. All right, so I got some prayer topics. We can see if any of them apply. Help me to eagerly desire spiritual gifts and the purity required to use them for your glory and your plan alone. Right? Somebody, that's you. Some of you are like eager for the spiritual, but not the purity. Some of you are eager for the purity, but not the spiritual gift part. Just ask for all of it, because the same Spirit who is creating the fruit of the Spirit is creating the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? Number two, make me bold to seek out how to be a blessing and to support my church family around me. I'm tired of attending church. Make me a part of your body. Right? And then number three, show me how to flow in the grace required to bring your gospel with power to everyone around me. It's so much more than words. The disciples brought the good news, the words, with power. Right? Would you guys stand up with me? This is not your normal prayer. But I feel like we just need to stand at attention before the throne. So as you close your eyes and we pray, you raise your hands, but you're before the throne here. And the Spirit of God is with you, and he's in you, and he's stirring over you. And as you speak, Lord, give me life. Give me purity. Give me the gift. Then the Spirit of God, with all the creativity and the dancing that he did when he created this planet, will be over you. And he'll begin to stir and release the stuff in your life. So, Lord, I just ask for anyone here who has said, God, give me the spiritual gifts. Help me eagerly desire those. That, Lord, you will outpour yourself upon them in an amazing way, God. It's not for them. It's not for their ego and their personal use. It is so that they can be upbuilders of the kingdom of God, encouragers, consolers, people who know the heart of God and know how to show and reveal the heart of God through miracles and signs and wonders and prophecy and wisdom and knowledge and every other form that you want to use that's at your disposal in them. I release it to my brothers and my sisters for the upbuilding of your kingdom, God. Not for me, not for the growth of the church, for the growth of your kingdom alone. And the same mouths that said yes to the gifts, Lord, we say yes to the purity. Lord, I ask that you will bring us through the refining process, and I know that it shakes us at times. But God, we're asking for you to take away things that have dominated our lives. We're asking you to take away compromise, Father. We're asking you to bring us to our knees in areas that we have told you no. We're asking you to even begin affecting our families. Show us how to be good examples to our children, God, to our spouse, to our neighbors, to our community, to our church. Lord, the whole purity discussion just got a lot quieter. But Lord, I still stand before the throne and I say, Lord, if it's coming from you, it's good and I want it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you deserve a pure vessel to live in. You deserve a clean home to habitate. You don't deserve a filthy, dirty home. So make us pure, God. We do this not out of guilt. It's because we love you so much. We want to give you our best. And then, Father, I ask that, Lord, you will just make us obedient to this concept of speaking out to others. And that doesn't always mean during the sermon, but Lord, make us like people who are hunting, Father, for those that need to hear from you. Lord, before service, in the parking lot, after service, in the classroom, out and during the week, God. Then, Lord, you'll just speak to us the way Megan knew she needed to bring a coat. Speak to us. Make us know that we're supposed to call our brother or our sister for their upbuilding, their encouragement, their consolation. God, make us a people who know each other's prophetic words and encourage each other to reach for them. I just sense you're here right now. I sense that you're attracted to our hunger. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful, Jesus, that you said if we take steps toward you, you take steps towards us. What is that going to look like? I'm excited, Father, to see and hear and know what you're about to do. So release it, God, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen.